combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast, our second one this week. And if you're live with us here in the 5 o'clock hour, you know that we start a little bit late. And God forbid, if you're watching us and listening to us, you can hear that Brit is suffering from, you know what this is? This is the equivalent of all cable TV remote news show syndrome, which is any show you watch now. It doesn't matter where it is, what time of the day, how much budget, whether it's NBC or CBS or Fox, or there's always a fuck up with the person out in the right. There's then the audio goes away, and could you push your mute button, please? You know, all this shit, right? So we've got that today, and we'll go as long as we can. Because you're kind of operating on battery power almost, right? In a way, technically.
It's, my mobile hotspot is what's providing us Wi-Fi access.
Right. Okay. So, what we'll do is I'll do 90% of the talking, and no one will know the difference.
It'll be the same as every other day. As they say in your face, why would this night be different than any other night?
Right. I've been reading this afternoon about our poor fellow Americans down in the Southwest in particular, and in Texas, who are going through, you know, the kind of the terrible weather. You know, we occasionally have it, not that often, but we've had situations where we've gone without power for many, many days in a row. Was it last year that we had, you know, a lot of days, and we had ice storm, the whole thing? Sure. We've been through it, but it sounds to me like what they're going through is way, way worse than what we had, because of the proverbial cliched, they're not used to it there, so therefore blah, blah. And by the way, nobody is used to ever losing their power for 6 days and the temperature being 10 degrees when the normal winter time temperature is 50 or 60, whatever it's supposed to be. We know that.
Don't start with it.
They don't have any snow plows in Austin. We know that. We understand.
I think you're going to remember this. Do you remember 15 years ago when Hurricane Katrina happened and they would send out a stupid email about there was an ice storm up in Fargo, North Dakota. Nobody called the National Guard. Nobody needed any help. Neighbors helped each other out with snow plows, and those desperate black people in New Orleans to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That was essentially the theme of the email, right? Remember that one?
Right. This isn't a case of, you know, there are federal troops ready to come in and turn the power back on. It doesn't work that way.
No, because Joe Biden doesn't care about Texas.
Well, this is the interesting part of it, as far as I'm concerned. And again, our thoughts are with, you know, a lot of dead people now. I mean, it's not funny.
Not at all.
But here is the story that I see is going to be the big political story out of this from that part of the country. And let's first start with the fact that the governor, Greg Abbott, is already demanding an investigation into how this happened. Have to make sure this never happens again. All right.
How ISIS formed? Is that what he's wanting?
No. Why the power is completely gone, and there's no hope, and it's all fucked up. And here is the answer. And the answer really goes back at some level to the fuck you to the rest of the country attitude that Texas loves to brag about, that is, you know, don't mess with Texas, all that shit. Okay. Yeah. Back in the 1930s, there was a president, and the shorthand for his name was FDR. All right. And FDR, as you know, did a lot of shit. He did a lot of things. He got stuff done. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he did was to try to make it so that electrical power was distributed across the country, and that there would be interstate sharing if necessary. And uh, they they came up with this plan, and everybody subscribed to it, except for Texas. Okay? Texas said, no, thank you. Don't need it. Not interested. We're Texas. So right now, Texas has this problem. They can't really get or borrow electricity from other states, if that were possible. They can't even get it from Mexico, if that were possible. It was called the Federal Power Commission that was developed in the 1930s, and Texas decided to become an electrical island unto itself. And they revised it back when there was a gigantic blackout, the famous New York City blackout of 1970. And that was the one, and there have been several where the power goes out in Boston and it comes all the way down the East Coast. I mean, they work on that all the time. But the fact is, right now, in Texas, they're on their own, and it's terrible. It's just a terrible, terrible situation. But it really goes back at some level politically to the pugnacious, we're Texas, damn it, we don't need you, and you're not going to tell us that we have to share electricity with Arkansas or Kansas or some shithole. And went, no, we can do it ourselves. And we have lots of oil here and we're energy and we don't need your help. So if you're just a citizen there, you're kind of the victim of this. But that's the politics of Texas, I think, going back again to we have to repeal everything FDR did, the New Deal, liberalism, helping people, making government work. They hate the idea because if that's true, then Democrats keep getting elected, right? So you always have to oppose it at some level. And here it is smacking you right in the face right now. And it's a sad, sad situation. And you know what's going to happen when this is all over? Nothing. Nothing will change, right? Nothing.
No, but there's going to be an investigation. There needs to be an investigation.
Right, sure. Right.
Now so, we should be back on our regular internet stuff. I think everything's come back now. So things should have improved.
It looks fine right now. Good. Now Texas, of course, they really don't get the kind of weather that a lot of the country gets, and even we get it occasionally. And we have times when it's 10 degrees here. We know what it's like. So they have to print the proverbial article on what to do with your food in the refrigerator when you lose your power in Texas. And they say that the rule one, and this is actually the headline of the story, do not store your food outside if you lose power, and here's why. What do you think the reason that they give for not storing your food outside in really, really cold weather? Why do you think that's a bad idea? What do you think they would say to people in Texas?
I think that's because there probably would be wild animals that would try to get your food.
You know, that's actually a very logical answer, and I was kind of thinking that might be it. But that's not it. Ready?
That's not it.
Ready? Here we go. Sit down. It's because sometimes it's not quite cold enough. Like, it will get to 40 degrees and your Makes food sense. Will spoil. So the assumption is the people are so stupid in Texas that – when it's 10 degrees out and they put their food there, they think it's going to stay cold forever, even when the temperature goes back up. You talk about talking down to people.
Okay? Sure.
The answer is, fuck yes, I'm putting my shit out in outside if it's 10 or 20 degrees.
You're that's the best I've got.
Yeah.
It's all I can do. I mean, the food's going to spoil one way or the other.
Of course.
At least give it a shot.
Of course. I mean, there's no argument. But your first inclination was 100% right. I mean, that could be the only reason not to put it outside.
Maybe.
But they're just worried that you don't know when it gets warmer that your food might not be as cold because you're just stupid. You just don't know. You can't tell the difference between 45 and 12 degrees. You have no idea. You live in Texas. So anyway, enough of that.
Are you, as you were talking about yesterday and as we previewed, Senator Richard Burr, the upcoming retiring senator from the great state of North Carolina, was formally censured by the North Carolina GOP, Brad. Now, I don't know. I thought it was blistering, and I don't know how Senator Burr would recover from this, even though he doesn't need to recover because he's not going to run for re-election. There was an inflection point in North Carolina.
Wait a minute. You're never going to work in this town again, buddy. You are done. You are washed up.
There was an inflection point in North Carolina. I mean, there was an inflection point in Louisiana as well, and there's been an inflection point. I guess they've done this in Utah and about everywhere else where they could – the party can go, all right, it's our choice. We can either be the party of Lincoln or the party of Trump. And in North Carolina said, fuck it, we want Trump. We want Trump all day long, right? That's the message from the North Carolina Republican Party, right?
I'm with you here. of course, you know, this is all just the crazy fealty to Trump idea that you must bow down and not offend him or he'll somehow reach into your life, into your politics, and is the puppet man and will ruin your career. So you have to keep cheering him on because all the voters still love him. You know, his ratings have bounced back up after they went down after the election. And then when impeachment started, they were down. But once he got acquitted, man, a lot of people came back to him. The Republicans still in the high 50s, low 60s. They want him as their nominee in 2024 or so they think right now. Okay, we'll take him at their word. There's a piece this afternoon in the New York Times about Peter Meyer. He's the guy from Michigan. He's one of the 10 turncoats in the House voted against the other Republicans and on the side of the Democrats for impeachment. And he held a town hall. He held a town hall. And they have some quotes from some people. And I think these are fairly representative of what people like you, people like me, and most of our listeners and most of our viewers think, what the fuck's wrong with these people? Here you go. We have a woman named Cindy Witke. She said, I went against people who told me not to vote for you, and I've lost that belief. Here's another woman, a woman named Nancy Eardley. She urged Peter Meyer to stop saying that the election had not been stolen. She said he had betrayed his Republican base. Did you hear what I just said? What I just read? Did you hear that? Yeah. How dare you say that the election was not stolen? You are scraping at the core of my very being by saying that. I could not have been more disappointed. I don't think there's much you can say that will ever change my mind into not primarying you out in 2 years. Now, I would say those two comments are obviously representative of a lot of Republicans across the country who are still in the Trump cult. They cannot escape it. They don't want to escape it. They're not interested in escaping it. But you either believe that at some point the fever breaks and something changes, or, you know, whatever is left of that so-called political party, although 3 weeks ago I put a giant thing on my Facebook page that said the Republican Party should no longer be called a party. It should be called a terrorist organization. I stand by that. They are. Sure. They are against American values. They are against the American Constitution. And, of course, to gaslight us, they have crazy people going around who are not crazy because they're able to bore into the brains of people who believe that what folks did on January 6th was upholding the Constitution, that that's exactly what this is all about. I didn't hear anybody, maybe somebody went with the famous, the tree of liberty occasionally has to be watered with the blood of tyrants. You know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, it's a bullshit quote. But it gets pushed around a lot, right? There was Thomas Paine or someone like that.
No, it was Jefferson. Jefferson had this thing where he would try to be a tough guy every now and again. Yeah. He was like the original keyboard warrior without a keyboard.
Right. But it didn't mean storm the Capitol and kill
people. He was doing what some of these assholes on Fox and different stuff were doing. And I think some of these people, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, some of the talk radio people, I don't know if any of them would say, hey, I didn't know it was going to go this far, and I'm sorry. I don't think anybody's done that. But I think, you know, there may be a few of them that were like, I was just trying to be fun. I was just trying to entertain and get my paycheck. I didn't realize there was going to be blood spilled and shit like that. Yeah. And we're going to try to hang Mitch, you know, all this other shit.
Right. Well, and we don't know the end story on all this and all the prosecutions and all the people that are going to go to prison and
right.
things like that. But I just read another piece about a guy. He's 28 years old, and the interview is with his father. And his father, of course, is beside himself that his 28-year-old son, who apparently was a very stubborn young child, wouldn't listen to anyone, went to Washington. Now, he didn't storm into the building, but he's been arrested. And, you know, you want to talk about breaking up families and having a rough Thanksgiving. Wait till these families go around to the next thing. What's that going to be like? It'll be even worse.
The one I saw was the kid from that was around here from Pilot Mountain, not too far from where we are. And his dad was like, I'm sure he was up there. It's probably running his mouth, but I don't think, you know, he was kind of just selling his kid down the river as being kind of a goob. But, you know, speaking of splitting families up, you saw the representative from Illinois, Adam Kinzinger. You saw the letter from his family. Like, 11 members of his family have signed this thing saying this letter saying what a disgrace he's been to their family and how they hate him and all this. I'm like, oh my God, you people are horrible. How awful are you guys?
You've betrayed everything. And by the way, can we put that story right next to, in the same panel, split the screen with the six brothers and sisters? There are a total of nine in the family. So, only six of the other eight of completely fucked up, crazy ass Republican representative Paul Gosar of Arizona. They're the ones. They didn't just write a letter to Gosar saying you're out of your fucking mind. They went and bought time. They're on commercials. You can YouTube those in 2 seconds and see them saying you're out of your fucking mind. So it's cutting in all different directions. I mean, you know, he's a Trumper. This guy, Gosar, is I'd say he's one of the top five in the tank Trumpers
he's on
in
board,
the Congress right now, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I'd say, he's one of them up there.
Yeah. All right, so then you have Kinzinger, who, by the way, you know, I don't think I could have any more admiration for a Republican right now than him. You know, and by the way, even Peter Meyer up in Michigan. I mean, I give all these people credit for doing the right thing, and you know it's the right thing, and we know it's the right thing. Sure. And by the way, did you look? If you look at the bottom of the page on Mediaite, they have a I think it's in podcast form, but there's a lot of text about it, and they did a long interview with Andrew McCarthy, who is the Fox News legal analyst. He is the guy. It's not Judge Napolitano. He's persona non grata. He doesn't exist over there
he's
anymore,
no good,
from what I can tell. It's Andrew McCarthy, and he was a Southern District of New York conservative prosecutor in the 80s and 90s, probably alongside Giuliani for a while. And he flat out says, there's no way. Trump is guilty, and I would vote to convict him based on everything that he has done. Now, first he narrows it down to, well, they wrote the impeachment article probably not in the best way. But even with that said, because of what he did after, he's got no leg to stand on. And I would vote to impeach him. So this is the Fox legal analyst who normally you can count on him to spin and twist around like Jonathan Turley or somebody like that. But you know, the facts are the facts here, and we're not going to argue for the next 20 years over whether Trump did anything wrong. We're not going there. The score was 57-43, and the 43 would have been it would have been 97-3 if it was a secret vote. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you have this large swath of whatever is left of whatever was known as the Republican Party, which is, by the way, are there any relatives of Abe Lincoln that are alive? Did he have I don't think so. I guess
I don't know if there are or not. We
would know about that, right?
I don't know. You know, they had several children and all that stuff. So I don't know exactly how the lineage goes and all that stuff. I'm looking at the McCarthy thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah. He's not equivocating everything. He's very clear that Donald Trump did this. Yeah.
Right. And, of course, whatever Andrew McCarthy is far overshadowed in terms of influence and being taken seriously by people like those who were just interviewed in that New York Times article up in Michigan, where I read their quotes. I mean, how dare you allege that this election wasn't stolen? How dare you? I mean, how do you answer that? What do you say back to that?
Look, if you think that's insane, what about Senator Ron Johnson over there in Wisconsin saying, I don't think that was an armed insurrection. I don't believe that was an armed insurrection.
Right. Well,
that's what he's claiming.
For years, I've occasionally seen this pop up. He is listed very often as the dumbest U.S. senator.
You know, the funny thing is, what really fools people is he doesn't look dumb. You know, you can tell when somebody looks dumb, and I have to say, a lot of times it's the Southern senators that look pretty dumb, honestly, most of the time.
Right, but his grammar and syntax are proper. So he sounds, until you realize what you're listening to, that you've got a fairly cogent person.
He's a sharp dresser. You know, he's fairly clean. He looks like a guy that would sell you an insurance policy. Now, I would say Josh Hawley looks like a dumb guy. Josh Hawley looks like the kind of guy that would keep his mouth open a lot over in history class. He looked like one of those dumb jocks, basically. But Ron Johnson doesn't look like a dumb guy. And that's what's so misleading, because he makes these stupid statements about it wasn't an armed insurrection. And this is what I love, Brad. So many times you hear folks talk about how,
by the way, remember, factually, he's wrong. It was an armed insurrection. There were weapons. And no. There were. His definition, remember, was, you know, you had to have a 500 people with actual guns.
We're arguing about scale. So if it's 499, it's not an armed insurrection.
Right, but that's what he's saying. And of course, that's factually wrong. And second of all, there doesn't have to be in Game of Thrones. I didn't watch that show very often. Were there guns on that show, or did they was there a lot of violence and armed insurrections on that show?
It's a dumb statement to make, and there were arms, and the cops have said they were taking guns away from people all day long, and part of the reason they've said that they didn't fire is because it would have turned into a gunfight, and they didn't want to turn into a gunfight because they were outnumbered. There were way more people there than there were cops. There were way more lawless people who were ready to fire guns and shoot people than there were cops, so that's part of the reason they didn't do it, but all of that is extremely stupid, and I can't believe that he gets away with saying it. But here's my point would be, so many times those people on the right are like, you know, I just hate the way the liberals and the media, they portray us as being dumb. I just don't like that. Ron Johnson, for the purposes of this, is able to get out and say, this was an armed insurrection. These people just look like, what was the word that he used, Brad? Idiots. He's able to call them idiots with impunity, just so he can get them out of the armed insurrection business. For these purposes, it's okay to call Donald Trump's followers idiots as long as you are saying that they were being mislabeled by the media and by liberals all over America. Yeah, it's all right to try them.
You know, you can murder someone with an automobile. Did you know that?
I wasn't aware.
If you're standing there and I run you down, the car becomes a weapon. But under the Ron Johnson definition, there were no weapons involved.
Perhaps, Brad, if someone had been run over with a vehicle, say at some place like Charlottesville, then your theory might have some credence. But I'm afraid you just look like an idiot. I'll use his word. You look like a moron for trying to make a stupid point like that. If someone, perhaps, at some sort of insurrection, say at Charlottesville, Virginia, and I don't know why that city comes into mind, but then perhaps you would have a leg to stand on here, but you don't. You don't. You're making yourself look foolish.
Let me tell you what is still number one over there. That's all they can talk about is Andrew Cuomo. I mean, that is it. Andrew Cuomo has shit the bed. He is absolutely.
I would not totally
shit the bed. And by the way, the best description of what he did or what his people did in to try to, quote, help him not look so bad in terms of the number of elderly people who died from coronavirus. They said it was very Trumpian. That was a very Trumpian thing. I think maybe Trevor Noah said that. Someone better than us said that. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that. That being said, as always, everything will get blown up a thousand times bigger than its actual effects might be.
I agree.
Because, you know, yes, they fudged the numbers. That's all government does is fudge numbers. But and I'm not excusing it. But they've been looking to take down Andrew Cuomo since, you know, he was probably born, because they wanted to take down Mario Cuomo. But he gave him the sword. He really did it here. And it's a big mistake.
Do you think that Cuomo's going to end up going to jail?
No. No. What's the crime?
I don't know. Fraud? I don't.
Right. So Andrew Cuomo will go to jail, but Donald Trump will run for president in 2024. Yeah, that sounds about right. You know what? You may be right. I forgot. You may be right.
I mean, it's just stupid enough. I know that they're – I don't know. I can't defend Andrew Cuomo on what he's done. I can't defend Gavin Newsom on the stuff that they've done. So, again, like you said, they've handed those guys a nuclear bomb to go after him, and that helps kind of perfume the giant fart that, you know, Donald Trump laid across America, the giant dump that he took on America on January the 6th. So, yeah, anything they can do to kind of detract and get the attention away. I assume also on Fox they're very concerned about the Lincoln Project.
I haven't coming up. Anything. Yeah. That thing's over. But you know what? Guess what? They did their job. They can go away. It's fine. They got it done. They won their Super Bowl. Now the team is going to be dispersed. Some will be out of football. Some will be on other teams and the rest of it. So, good for them. They did good work. And as always, everything is a freak show. And any group of people will always have apparently at least one or two pedophiles, homophobes, assholes, and jerks. So
did they have to be among the founding members, though? They have to be among the management squad. And by the way, if you knew about it, why didn't you know the Steve Schmitz and other the world? Again, I admire them because the guys were what they did, but it's dreadful if they knew about this stuff and then didn't do anything about it. I mean, how hard is that?
It's pretty hard, Britt, in case you haven't figured it out. Nobody wants to do anything about anything. Have you figured this out yet?
I think I'm getting it. I think I'm starting to get it.
We don't clean up our own house here. We try to hide it. That's what we do. And then when it's 10 times worse when it's found out.
I could take the Ron Johnson. I don't know. It didn't seem like a bunch of pedophiles to me. I'm not really – I'm not sure. I can't really – very odd.
Well, it's just the one guy. It's this Weaver guy, but
as far as who knew what and when and who did nothing about it, that doesn't make you
a pedophile because you didn't out the guy.
No, you just aided and abetted one and helped somebody get abused. So yeah, you can cleanse your conscience in that fashion. Yeah, I think they're going to disband it, and George Conway says they should disband it. But again, it gives the folks on the right, the fans of Donald Trump, to go, oh, that's what it is. That's what they are. The people who are attacking me are just a bunch of pedophiles. Right. By the way, Donald Trump did issue a statement through his Save America PAC, which is not just some sort of scam to get a bunch of money for his stupid idiot kids. He has issued a blistering statement against Mitch McConnell. I don't know if you saw this. He calls him dour. He says the people who continue to follow Mitch McConnell will continue to lose. He calls him all sorts of names and says he's very ineffective. He does not do what we need for the party, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't give a shit about a pissing match between those two. No, I don't. I truly don't.
Because
can you take anything this guy says seriously? Anything? Not really. And it doesn't really affect our, fuck it. I'm a fuck it on that one. I'm a fuck it on reacting to Donald Trump's statement on that.
Well, it is humorous in and of itself, because Mitch McConnell did spend four solid years apologizing, excusing, and moving around the mistakes that Donald Trump did. He carried his water pretty well. And in the end, Donald Trump eventually, you know, tries to put one in the shorts to him, just like he does with everybody else.
Gee, that's a new thing. That's never happened before.
I think that's humorous in and of itself. And Mitch McConnell, who, again, as we pointed out on yesterday's Brad and Britcast, minimally did the right thing. Minimally did the right thing. Did not vote correctly in the Senate, but then issued a statement saying that Donald Trump was completely responsible for what happened on January the 6th, which he was.
Nope. The final score is all that mattered. And Mitch McConnell knows that more than anybody. He knows it more than anybody. The only way he gets back to be the majority leader is to win enough House seats or enough Senate seats to flip it back over. And whatever he has to do, whatever kind of voter suppression has to go on, whatever kind of gerrymandering has to go on, whatever kind of character assassination has to go on, he's all for it. And the idea that you can cut out a 7-minute block of his entire life and say he's anything resembling a statesman because after doing completely the wrong thing, he says or reads off of a script that he may have written or had written for him, the quote unquote right things to us. No,
You're not buying it.
No, who's buying it? Who's buying it? The only people that are really truly reacting to it are other Republicans who don't understand that you know, McConnell is Machiavelli, and you know, he punted the ball down the field and got away with it, and you know, it's he's the worst. He is the worst of the worst. There's
Trump hits McConnell on everything from his intellect to his looks, saying the leader lacks political insight, wisdom, skill, and personality, describing him as dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack.
Well, Steve Bannon says Trump was already beginning the early stages of dementia. How about that, Trump?
I did see that particular story. And again,
are we going to react to that? Because we know that's true, so therefore it won't carry any currency, right? Right? Because the quick answer will be, what about Joe Biden? He just stumbles over his speeches. Right?
By the way, I was very happy.
There's going to be a whataboutism on that one.
Weren't you happy to see that Larry Kudlow landed on his feet with that new show on Fox Business? Weren't you happy?
Yeah, and already got caught saying bullshit 3 times in a row. Did you hear? Did you listen to that?
He said bullshit when they were talking about Kamala Harris and her assertion that
her. They have the clip. They run the clip of her. It's 18 seconds, and she talks about the fact that there was a coordinated national plan to fight the coronavirus. And of course, there wasn't. There's not much of a debate there. The states were left to fight among themselves. And you
were still
Kudlow
digging
in
out
the background. Right. You hear Kudlow in the background going, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. What a pro. What a professional he is. The guy's been back on the air one day with a new show. One day. And he already doesn't understand that the mic is always on. And that you don't say that. But the first day. And by the way, I think he should be given a mulligan. Of course, we need to understand. Of course,
well, you know, the heart attack.
Maybe he's back on the nose candy again.
On the devil's dandruff. Is that what you think is going on with him? Well, they were able to cut payroll, get rid of Lou Dobbs, so they can move the awesome Larry Kudlow into that spot. You know, he had the heart attack. It didn't take him out. Do you want to play Are you going to play the game of why is Larry Kudlow alive and Larry King isn't? Would you like to play that card?
Yeah, the wrong Larry. That's a Lifetime movie tonight. The wrong Larry.
Wrong Larry tonight.
Usually it's the wrong babysitter. It's the wrong mother-in-law. But tonight it's the wrong Larry at 8 o'clock. Repeats at midnight. So
sure, Ginny Garth is in that one. Veteran 60 Minutes producer Ira Rosen. This is your story you were just mentioning. Claimed on Tuesday while working for the White House, Steve Bannon concluded that Donald Trump was suffering from early stage dementia. Rosen made the allegations while appearing as a guest on the podcast Skullduggery. I think that is the George Conway podcast. Well, not in this particular case. Daniel Kladman and their chief investigative correspondent, Michael Isikoff, are on this one. But Conway has been a guest on that podcast before, discussing his memoir, Ticking Clock.
Nice tap dance out of that one.
Well, I've heard him on that podcast before, and I think he was on recently.
He was a guest on the podcast, and I'll let it go.
Thanks.
I'll just let it go.
And not just once, but he's been a guest multiple times on that podcast, by the way. Rosen and Bannon developed somewhat of a relationship after the producer invited the former White House official to sit down for a 60-minute interview. The two allegedly changed pages of text messages before Bannon finally agreed to an interview once he'd been fired by Trump. And so he's saying now that he did have early stage Alzheimer's. So I think that's right. I think you're right. I believe that.
And you know what you need to remember? That in 4 years, it will have completely healed, and Trump will be better than ever.
Hydroxychloroquine.
It works on Alzheimer's too, but a lot of people don't know it, and Big Pharma won't tell you because it's a cheap drug that's been around forever. So. Can you imagine what Trump is actually going to be like in 4 years? And by the way, you know, my favorite Trump story is of this week. I think it's tomorrow is the day that they blow up that last casino with his name on it in Atlantic City.
They sold off the rights for that, didn't they? They sold off the rights to have somebody push the button to blow it up or something.
I think they decided not to do that, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is I don't want to say that they knew when they were planning this that this would be 4 days after the impeachment trial was over in the Senate and therefore, but everything worked out. No more name on
hydroxychloroquine. It works on early stage dementia as well. Yeah. So he says in that statement to McConnell that his organization, the Save America PAC, which I once again just want to stress, is not some sort of welfare project for his stupid children. He says that they will support any kind of primary opponents they can for guys that they find and identify that can support the America First agenda and the MAGA agenda, Brad.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. The thing is, at this point, we have enough experience to know what the MAGA agenda is, which is actually nothing. It's not a policy.
Well, that's not true.
It's not an idea. It's a culture war.
No.
It's a culture war.
It's racism. It's insurrection. It's violent overthrow of the government. Right. These are things they support. Right. It's not nothing.
That's right. Right. And those are policies. We're not going to get any legislation passed on those. No. It's just not. Hey, by the way, don't you love the story of that Eshelman guy? I think he's from Wilmington. The guy who wants his $2 million back. He the day after the election, he starts fiddling around online and he finds some people who are ready to investigate the dishonest election. So this is what, November 4th, November 5th,
and he gets in touch.
Right, and they get in touch with him, and they have a phone conversation, and he is convinced. Now, this is a guy. Apparently, he's a fairly successful.
Oh, he's very rich.
Very rich, and so you want to think, you don't want to, but you assume that somebody that's been able to make that much money is fairly impervious to getting shaken down.
Yeah, wrong again, Riddler.
For scams. Anyway, so he talks to some people, and he says, you know what? I'm in.
Well, what did he say?
I'm in for two. I'm in for two.
And they go, 200,000?
They go, 200,000? No, fuck, 2 million.
2 million?
2 million. Holy shit. Whoa.
I love that. They must have thought, oh, we've got this group for 200 grand. Holy shit. We're much better salesmen than we thought. We got it for 2 million.
So he was one of the original guys with the seed money for the post election grift, right?
Yeah.
He'd be one of the pioneers in that area. Congratulations, sir. And now what does he want his money? Guess what? There's no more money. It doesn't work that way. They don't let it sit in a room, and then if they haven't spent it, you get it back. It doesn't quite work that way. But as a successful, sophisticated financier, I'm sure he knew that, right?
Well, it ended up in Don Jr.'s nose or something like that. I think that's probably what happened to that money. Forget it.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, the president of these United States, Brad, does make his case for a lot of things tonight in a televised town hall, including that $1.9 trillion aid package. Do you think anybody cares much about what Joe Biden does as long as he doesn't lead an armed insurrection and try to murder people? Don't you think that's pretty much the bar has been set kind of low for Joe Biden at this point?
No, it's not. I 100% disagree.
I think it's a big deal.
That's cynicism to pointless cynicism, and we're into that, but that's pointless. He's the president now, and there are millions of people who are depending on him and the Congress getting shit done, and they do care, and businesses are going under, and the coronavirus is seemingly taking a nap right now, which, of course, this is America, and I guess the numbers are going down. Let's go out and party, right?
We've
whipped it. Let's get everybody back in school, right? And you know, and you don't have to listen to anybody but your own good sense. You can listen to Dr. Michael Osterhaus or Vingupta or
Fauci.
Dr. Fauci, any of them. And every one of them will say, don't even think about it. We've got new variants on the virus, 7 or 8 of them right now that are moving through fairly quickly. And we could be in a few weeks right back to where we were, but worse. The hospitals could be overrun even worse than they have been. So this is not the time to stop wearing a mask and stop washing your hands and doing all those things. You know what? I would like somebody at the CDC to come out and say, and I'd like to hear Fauci or somebody come out and finally say this. Please, okay, somebody who had an interest in Clorox stock put the idea out there back in February that everything needs to be wiped down, that everything, that you might be able to get this by touching something. And so as a result, they started, and very often things get back to New York. You know, they closed the subways down earlier in the evening. They used to run 24/7. Then they kept them closed, I think, from midnight to 6 to wipe down the cars every night, every night. And remember, we're pretty far into this pandemic right now. And so far, there has not been one documented case of someone contracting coronavirus from touching a surface and then doing whatever it is you would do. Okay. Apparently, people have touched the surface and tried to poke their own eyes out, and they still can't seem to get it from that. But we are still wiping shit down at a furious rate. I have on our kitchen counter, we have one thing of Clorox wipes. I didn't buy. We had them before. Okay. Jeepers. We had them before everything happened. We still have that one there.
Holy shit.
I don't think we've used 10 of them. I don't think we've used 10 of them. Now, we don't have a lot of people over our house, to be fair. But honest to God, that was crazy. Is this one of these things where we can't stop that now? We can't stop it?
From what I heard a while back, there was some sort of question that was brought in. There was some question about now contracting it from surfaces. That seems to have been brought into question by a lot in the scientific community. But again, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, on the airplanes, clearly there is no possible way they could ever wipe everything down perfectly enough if, in fact, surfaces were the cause of coronavirus that you would not want to fly on a plane. But it turns out, apparently, on airplanes, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Now, they might say, well, it's because we are pretty fastidious about that.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any evidence that the airline that keeps the middle seat open, which I think is still Delta, I think all the other ones have stopped that, are fewer people contracting it who have flown on Delta than another airline because they did that? In other words, we just need to concentrate on the really important shit, which is wearing a mask. And by the way, I had somebody talk to me yesterday. They saw that I was wearing a double mask. I had an N95 style. I don't think it's not a 3M, but it's a good one. It was ordered from a medical thing through my wife. She's a doctor, and so they're good. And I put a cloth over it, and somebody said, "Oh no, I refuse to wear two. I'm just not wearing two." Well, you know, two is good. Two is
better. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Two is helpful.
Yeah, it is.
But on the other hand, we are wiping down staircases every night in your house and in buildings. I don't know. I don't know. But and anyway, but the point. So Biden's doing a town hall tonight, and good for him. He should do these. He should do one every month. He should do town halls.
Yeah.
In an equivalent frequency that Roosevelt did. Fireside chats.
Fireside chats, yeah.
Right. I just don't think that there's any real downside to it. I mean, and clearly there are going to be times where he gets nailed for shit, but that's okay. You live with that.
It happens.
Right. And I say go for it. Now, because of the screwed up world in which we live, I would think that there are those out there. Well, if Biden gets a town hall, why doesn't Trump get one? Trump isn't the president anymore. He's irrelevant. But I guarantee you, if Donald Trump said, "I would like to do a town hall with the usual stacked audience of idiots," they would accommodate him in 5 seconds.
Oh, on Fox? Yeah, Fox is still trying to get themselves in good with the folks that switched over to Newsmax and One America.
Absolutely.
Oh, they'd have Sean Hannity in there kissing his ass so hard it would drain all the blood out of it. He'd have the whitest ass you ever saw. Oh, that's right. A disgusting.
Remember when Mitt Romney did all those town halls after he lost, and John McCain did all those town halls after he lost? Remember all the Al Gore town halls, right?
No, I remember when Mitt Romney, after he lost, he had those people storming Capitol Hill to murder people. Yeah. That was pretty bad. He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. What a hypocrite. And now he votes to convict Trump. How come you're right? How come everybody's forgotten about that?
Why aren't people talking about this?
Yeah. All right,
that's our show.
We're going to run along. Thank goodness the connection worked again.
It steadified itself.
Very good. We'll
BradandBrit.com.